Hey, I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high. Cause it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Yeah, sure.
I was trying to find some, some like rap Christmassy shit. You know what I'm saying?
I guess that'll do, huh?
I don't know. I'm not putting them on the fucking Wake and Bake playlist or the Smoking and Riding playlist. Uh-huh. But it was just something just to play for this episode. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And to all everybody out there, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and shout outs to those people who are listening to this podcast right now or watching it on YouTube or Facebook or IGTV or whatever way that you figured out how to watch this or listen to it, and you're stuck with a bunch of family members that you're now realizing why you only hang out with them like once or twice or three times a year, you know what I'm saying? And you need to roll up and go get your mind right. And as you see, we got a plethora of shit.
Plethora.
Today, we are going to fuck with some GM3.
GM3.
Yeah, that's that grease monkey.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to fuck with this La Orange, another joint from Cannabiotics.
Yeah.
Am I saying that fucking name right?
Cannabiotics, yeah.
Yeah, Cannabiotics. Yeah, that's the same people that made that fucking Tropicana shit that I can't fucking stop thinking about.
And you know what? From just by the smell of it, you can smell.
Right now, if I'm looking at the table, there's four CBX jars here right now.
One, two, three. Where the fourth one at?
Over there.
Where?
One. There's two there, and there's one over there.
Oh, shit, I didn't even see this one.
Yeah.
But the Tropicana and La Orange has a very citrusy smell.
Right. Their smells and their flavors, like, I could tell that their growers really paid attention to terpenes.
Right.
I mean,
and
they
I
still...
think that if I'm not mistaken, hey, everything's just going.
It's all good. They still got good smells and good flavors. Like, mind you, when I say good flavors, I'm not just talking about weed that just tastes good, but I mean that has, like, an overbearing, distinctive taste of one of the qualities in there, especially when it has something to do with the name of the weed. Like, that's why I like the Tropicana so much, because it's one of those weeds to where it's like, if I roll that up and smoke it, I can anticipate exactly what that taste is going to be like. And if that blunt, I always look at it, if that blunt is in a cipher with a bunch of other blunts, when you hit it, do you know what that strain is? Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you taste it. Right. If I can hit that shit in the midst of four or five other blunts rolling going around, and every time I hit it, I know exactly what strain it is when I'm tasting it, it's that.
Well, if you like they the did a good job. Then you really like this too.
Yeah.
Because they both have similar effects too. You know what I'm saying? As far as being euphoric and energizing and creativity and all those stuff. So, and it's going to smoke good. I smoked a little bit of it earlier, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I came into it telling myself that certain strains that we got early on in the game when we first got here, that I was going to hold on to, and I just wasn't going to smoke until we did the episode where we were smoking that actual strain and
you
shit.
Set the rule.
And yeah, of course. And damn. I knew it. Like, I know myself.
This
you know
nigga
what I'm saying? Like,
take a little bit of ease.
I am the king rule breaker, you know what I'm saying? I'm surprised that I was the only reason why. All right, look. Look, the only reason why I didn't smoke in this place yet is because I looked the guy in his eye and like at the moment when he verbally said it. Before he said it, I was ready to eat the $300 fine. You know what I'm saying?
What did he say?
I was 100% ready to eat the $300 fine.
He was just like, please don't smoke. Or...
Well, he just reminded it. And then he tried to like, it's funny because he does a podcast too, and it's also on YouTube, and we were talking about that. So, like, all right, but anyways, motherfucker was like basically also like, I might have one of them crackers come through next, you know what I'm saying? And they might smell it and be like, da 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 da. And it was one of those things where it's like, oh, I get it, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, you did the Latino black guy motherfucking like on that level situation shit, you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, that was supposed to drive it home for me. Right, you know what I'm saying? Whitey might fuck you out of your money if I do what you know I'm probably going to do, you know what I'm saying? And you were right. We've because been good so far, I had already 3 podcasts ago, you know what I'm saying, like on my regular shit, said, yeah, I was ready to eat the fine. But then now it's not even about eating the fine, you know what I'm saying? Now it's just about, I feel as though that this becomes a bigger problem for me later on down the line if I do it than if I don't. It's not even about the fine.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Not a bigger problem scary problem, but a bigger problem because of like,
right, the network.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not too uncomfortable.
You got the balcony right there, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's lit. Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so pro tip.
This is higher learning.
If you're rolling, no pun intended, make sure to do a pro job. That is a pro tip. Let me explain what I'm saying. It's okay to fuck up a blunt. That is not a problem. That's not even like a smoker violation. That is inevitable. No matter who you are or how great your rolling skills are, you fucked up a blunt or two. You just didn't do it in front of your niggas, so they can't call you on it. You know what I'm saying? Right. But everybody's done it. It's all right. But you can't be the nigga who's insisting on always rolling the blunt, talking about your skills and how you do this, that, and third, and then fuck the blunt up. That's a violation. Can't do that one. You know what I'm saying? So pro tip, if you're the one in the group that always wants to like insist on rolling the blunt because you're the best, then be the best. Right, you know what I'm saying? Don't say you're great unless you could be great. Am I allowed to say that without getting a trademark infringement?
Right. You gotta be great. Listen, for discretion, people, I do not roll the backwards very good. I'm still learning the process.
Nah, this wasn't geared towards you because cool. It's cool. I'll give you that because you're not this person because, you know, I be trying to get you to roll all the chocolates, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, we're gonna have chocolate, dude. Yeah, I got that. The weird moment of silence. All right, what's next?
Yeah, because you can't find it about here. I ain't gonna lie, I thought about you earlier because when I was at the store, I did look because I stopped at 2 stores I went to go get my haircut. Because Jay hooked me up with one of his people, went to the barbershop, get my haircut. When I left from there, I went to 2 different stores. Could not find any chocolates. But here's the thing about it, Trey. I'm starting to realize that out here, like, even though they got Backwoods, because Backwood just became, like, the universal, like, everybody smokes those. Because there's one point in time where a lot of niggas didn't smoke Backwoods, and I'm convinced it's because niggas didn't know how to roll Backwoods. Right. It's like, it's easy for niggas to reject some shit because it points out an inadequacy in they shit, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, nah, I'm going to just say I don't fuck with Backwoods because I don't know how to roll a Backwood, but I don't want to say I don't know how to roll a Backwood, so I'm going to just say I don't fuck with Backwoods, you know what I'm saying?
Be like that.
All right. But, niggas just don't fuck with chocolates anywhere else probably, yo, except for, like, Maryland and New York. And New York is because Maryland's a trickle-down place. So, like, shit trickles down from other places. Right. There isn't much. I mean, I've lived in Maryland for most of my life, so I can say it. There isn't a lot of original, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm talking about, like, where it started from there. Like, the things that started from there, we could pinpoint it.
Yeah, I got Baltimore club music.
Listen, we're not even getting to all that shit. That was a joke. That was a shot.
I mean, Jersey, we don't got
him,
shit.
At him. Don't at me. KJ Jersey. And Chill goes to my phone. So, at his actual Instagram that he just started.
Oh, yeah, people, I got an Instagram.
Yeah, he's back on social media.
At the Real Chill Mode, that's me.
I would give him claps, but I took the claps off because I'm changing the buttons right now and I'm trying to organize them so I don't have any chairs. So.
Damn. That's probably. I'm getting my semi claps and my semi cheers.
All right, let's spotlight a couple more black-owned weed businesses. I like doing that on the last episode. Want to do it again. There's a company called 99th Floor. It's from an entrepreneur named Doug and his friend who's a chef named Miguel. Now, their situation is kind of cool. A little bit annoying because I feel as though that I want to get on this guest list and it seems like it's hard to because 99th Floor is like a rotating private edible cuisine experience to where you smoke weed and you eat like five-star infused dishes. So you're talking about eating like top chef type food in a private dinner party situation, but it's invite only and there isn't a readily like known location. Like I can't post a link for this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to know somebody to get invited into this. But apparently all of the people who we know like in the entertainment or like, you know, upper echelon who are stoners and are, you know, we know that they smoke weed or whatever, have probably been to one of these dinner parties with Doug and Miguel. That's how they're making their money because they're able to keep it super exclusive and only cater to a super high clientele of people who just basically want to eat good foods and get high while they're doing it. So that's cool. And it's a black-owned business. It's kind of like the idea of shit, like the way that I'd be looking at it, to where it's like, look, try to get the people who are closest to where the money runs from to feed money into the black-owned businesses, so it feeds more money into the black communities. You know what I'm saying? Like rather than exchange the same dollar around in a circle, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you got to infuse some money from another source. You see what I'm saying? Right. So it's like this is the perfect blueprint of that. I'm not saying you have to do it with weed. I'm not saying it has to be an exclusive club, but the mindset of infusing money from the wealthy, the 1%. Right. And putting that into this black-owned business to where apparently this is the only one of its kind of how they're doing it. There's other private weed clubs, but none quite as exclusive as theirs.
Like, basically not putting something in the hood just to generate money for the hood.
Well, I mean, like yeah. It's kind of like that. Basically what it's saying is that if this store, you got two businesses in the hood, right? Uh-huh. One business is making money, but they need a certain supply, right? Uh-huh. So they go to this other business, right, uh-huh, and buy that. And then this business needs a supply from them, so they're just exchanging money back and forth. Uh-huh. What I'm saying is that recognize the need that you feel and then find the other communities that haven't let our businesses in.
Right.
And fill their void, get their money, infuse it into here, and then we start exchanging it back and forth. That way it's not the same dollar going back and forth. Right. Like if I got to pay you for this and you pay me for this, we only made money at the time of the transaction. No one really increased their wealth.
Right.
But this is a whole nother conversation for some other shit.
You gotta school them a little bit.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So let's keep it moving with Stoner Confessions.
Okay.
All right.
Because I got her. Because I got her. Because I got her.
Go to the next. Go to the next.
All right. So first and foremost, I'm going to have to figure out a different way that I get these Stoner Confessions. Because a lot of them just come in through email. And I just copy and paste them and plug them into episodes because I kind of want to be surprised to a point. It's hard to be surprised when you're also the producer of the show, but I don't read these ahead of time. And now as I'm looking at this again, this motherfucker is lying too. But we're going to read it anyways.
Another cap this week.
Yeah, but we're going to read it anyways.
All right, well, maybe we could piggyback off of it. And
read it was my 18th birthday. Had okay. Exactly 8 peeps over the casa.
Hey.
Yo said he had 8 peeps over the casa.
Who is this?
I don't know.
This sound like what's cuz from what's that movie?
What's that, Malibu's Most Wanted?
No, not that one. With the three niggas that was doing Project X.
Project X. Yeah, okay. Yeah, oh, yeah. The one Jewish kid. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That sounds just like him. All right, go ahead.
I shouldn't have said that, but it is. we probably smoked 9 joints and passed a bong around a dozen times. I was gone. We did karaoke without any music or microphones until my brother and his girlfriend came over at about 11:30. His girlfriend rolled a 2-foot-long blunt, and before I knew it, I fell asleep on my basement couch and told nobody to fuck with me. Woke up at 4 a.m. feeling shitty. My friends were crashed out except for my friend's girlfriend's best friend. And here's where the cap starts. Okay. She was like, oh, gosh, someone's awake. And yo put it in quotation marks, like the where it's like, I'm glad that you got your excitement, or your pause, your laugh off, you know what I'm saying? Because you put them quotations, so I would say it that way. But you put it that way because you knew you were about to start lying, because this story was getting boring up until this point. She grabbed your hand, walked you over to the room. Then she said she had something for your birthday, then pulled out a spliff and got on her knees. And none of that happened, but at least you got what you wanted, because right, I read it on the show.
So let's piggyback from this.
Shout outs to you. Anonymous guy.
Have you ever been in a situation to where a nigga was capping just to look cool, and you knew he was capping?
Oh, hell yeah.
Listen,
no, it's not even that. It's the creative cappers, right, that, like, are the piggyback story to where it's like, all right, niggas is chilling. You know your one man's has this one thing to happen to him, right? He tell this story. Story's dope, it's funny, it's believable. You know him, you know that happened. You was probably there, right?
Right.
And then here go this nigga like, yo, you know what that remind me of, yo? This one time this one time niggas, yo. Like, I hate that this one time nigga. You know what I'm saying? The where it's like, they all, cause they'll always try to figure out a way to one up the already believable story. And they'll have some clear shit in there that you know goodness well that motherfucking nigga didn't do, yo.
I got a couple of people like that, man.
Yeah.
My man's. Fuck, I ain't gonna say which one, but my man's definitely be putting the cap on the Sprite. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't saying that's my man's. You feel me? I love him. But
is cap almost past his expiration date?
Yeah, I'm tired.
I'm just about to say if it is. You know what I'm saying? You got the replacement?
Yeah.
Because I think this is the problem. There's a lot of words that niggas have wanted to retire for the longest time.
But ain't a replacement. But
when you don't have a good replacement, it's like you kind of shut the fuck up about it and then you roll with it. Like, have you ever said some shit that really annoys you when other people say it? That's one of those words right there.
See, I'm the type she...
There's some people that I hate hearing. I hate hearing them say that out of their mouth in the context that they say it in. If I say it, I feel like it's okay, because the context that I'm saying it in is different. But it's like some people that try to force the word in there. Like, they try to force a slang word into a statement where you really didn't need it there. You know what I'm saying? It didn't improve the statement any. It just made it fucking awkward.
But look, the funny is, right, say you mess with Shawty, right? And, you know, some of your girls try to, I guess, adapt a part of you, and you feel me? They want to use your language.
Rub off.
Yeah. Yeah. So. You feel me? They don't know how to use the word and be trying to use the word. You feel me? Like, that's funny. I find that funny. Like, girl, you know damn well you don't talk like that. She be like, what, I ain't say it right? No, you didn't say it right. Don't try to say it no more. You don't talk like
this
that.
This is Higher Learning.
All right, so last week I introduced the that was like a real abrupt transition. I didn't even say nothing before, you know what I'm saying? But fuck it. I thought you were done, right? And then I hit the little button, and once the little "this is higher learning" thing happened, it was too late.
It was over.
I was committed, so I had to lean into it. All right, so we started with the grow guide last week. I told you guys it's going to be 8 steps that we're going to lay out in these next couple episodes. So now we're at number 2, which is about choosing your cannabis grow lights. Now, the quality of the light in your room will be the number one environmental factor in quality and quantity of your yield. So it's a good idea to choose the best lighting setup that you can afford. Now, some of the breakdowns are going to be HID grow lights, high intensity discharge. Ooh. Lights are industry. That's close.
Huh? That was close.
That was close?
Yeah. You said HID? Okay.
That was close. Super inappropriate for this point.
I just said that was close.
All right, Jay the Great.
You out, bro?
Yeah.
All right, hit my phone.
All right, man. All right, see y'all later.
Oh, you on not hitting that.
All right. So high intensity HID lights, high intensity discharge lights are the industry standard. They're used for their combination of output, efficiency, and value. They're going to cost more than some of the other lights, which are the incandescent and the fluorescent lights. But they give you more light per unit. So basically, the HID lights are the most powerful. They're going to get you closer to power of what's simulating the sun, because part of your grow cycle is going to be manipulating your plants to stick to a pretty predictable cycle based off of light hours and dark hours. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said that you need to plan your grow cycle around your living schedule, your work schedule, your life schedule. What time do you need to pick the kids up? What time do you usually hang out with your girl? What does she have going on every other Wednesday? You have to account for all these things, because your plant ain't trying to hear none of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a certain amount of hours it needs light, a certain amount of it needs dark, and these are the different lights that you use to light it up with. Fluorescent grow lights are using high output bulbs. They're very popular with most beginning hobby growers because they're cheaper to set up, you know what I'm saying, and they come in a single package, and they don't require a cooling system. That's the reason why the HID lights are also so expensive, because there's a cooling system that you're going to have to also invest in, because those lights get very hot. Like I said, that's going to be the closest thing to mimicking the processes of getting natural sunlight. But with that being said, those are very hot lights. You also have LED lights. LEDs have become popular for pretty much everything, so it's comparable to that. LED technology has also come out into lighting systems when it comes to people using these to grow their weed with. Now, one of the bigger drawbacks to this is that their cost is also very expensive. Well-designed fixtures can cost about 10 times to what a comparable HID setup would. So if you are really on the professional scale and you're really doing it up like that, yeah, fuck it. Get yourself a LED system, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But just know that this is more expensive than the industry standard. It's just probably about to become the new industry standard.
Right.
Induction lamps are something that's hard to really get in touch with. I mean, they were invented in the 1800s. This is probably the most beginnings of growing weed. Induction growing lights were probably used. If you can get your hands on some induction lamps, then yes, it'll probably work very well for you, because it's hard to fuck it up. And just like most old shit, just like older cars and stuff like that, they were just built a different way.
Right.
But the problem is that you're going to have problems finding bulbs and everything else you're going to need for this. So I would suggest that people just go with the fluorescent lights. This is what you're going to need.
Okay.
So we're going to roll up and catch a vibe, and then we're going to come back, and we are going to give our opinions on the strains that we're going to smoke today, which is GM3. AKA Grease Monkey. This one is a cross of Gorilla Glue and Cookies and Cream. I've never had cookies and cream as a strain before. I've had another strain that it was crossed with, but never straight up. But it definitely, when I see the word Gorilla Glue, anytime I see Gorilla Glue involved in a strain name, I automatically know that it's going to have me locked into the couch somewhere. So.
You're looking for a plate, right? No, I'm saying to warm them up. My fault.
Oh, no, there's paper plates right above on top of the refrigerator. Oh, never mind. All right. So whenever I see Gorilla Glue involved in a strain, I know it's going to have me locked into the couch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I like it. Just from opening and smelling
it. Yeah.
It's one of them smells. Real quick. We about to go into a break. Okay, that's why I showed it. It's the raw version.
Yeah. Nah, it is what it is. I mean, we got to make the microwave. It is what it is. Let's just let
me. We going to break anyway.
Yeah. All right. So look, hold on.
All right.
What did we say? Fuck it. This is what we're gonna do. We're gonna roll up and catch a vibe, and we're gonna come back, and then we'll tell you more about this Grease Monkey and this fucking. That sounds a little bit racist, yo. I don't know. I'm going to stick with the GM3, Grease Monkey, and the La Orange, and then we'll be back with some more Higher Learning.
All right.
Oh, man.
He came in when it counts, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all right.
This is Higher Learning.
All right, so we just finished smoking on that GM3, a.k.a. the Grease Monkey, the name of the strain that I just don't like. But I get it because it's I don't all the way get it. I get where the monkey comes from. Gorilla Glue is one of the parents. Cookies and cream, I don't know how that becomes grease. But anyways, I said it was Indica Dominant. It's a collaboration from Wizard Trees and Doja. Exotic Genetics also has something to do with it. The buds definitely look like super indica, so it got those characteristics from it. It didn't really like lay me on my ass like that, to where it's like I want to go to sleep. So it kept cool. The good sativa qualities from that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. We got that La Orange that I said that we were smoking on. That shit is definitely one of them flavorful ones. It definitely has some
citrus,
very strong citrus flavors in it. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Sure. High limonene on the terpenes. You know what I'm saying? Really sticky, really resinous. Runs between 24% and 28% on the THC.
This one we got is...
That's probably the cereal milk. This is
the long orange. This is 31.
Yeah. Okay. 31.
31.6.
All right. So, I thought.
Okay.
You know how people say, "Well, better safe than sorry."
Uh huh.
All right. So when they're saying that, they're like, you know, be careful, think about it, uh-huh, weigh your options out.
Uh-huh.
That way, you rather be safe than be sorry.
Uh huh.
All right, so what's better sorry than safe, yeah?
Uh-huh.
What's better sorry than safe?
What do you mean?
The opposite of that. What's something that you should just jump into, you know what I'm saying, and just like...
Regardless.
Yeah, regardless, you know what I'm saying?
Pussy.
I knew that was going to be your answer.
You said jump into.
Yeah.
Some pussy. Better sorry than safe, nigga. Fuck it. At least you got the nut out for the night.
I ain't gonna lie, that is probably the universal answer, because I'm over here shitting on your answer and shit, right? Yeah. But I couldn't think of one fast enough that would like be better than yours. I ain't want to be a hypocrite, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, because I was just talking about how I hate that shit.
Scared money don't make that money.
Yeah, that is probably better sorry than safe. And it's fucked up that we say that, because there are some dangerous things that could happen to you. Some less dangerous than others, but they could turn into dangers, you know what I'm saying?
From like hopping into some pussy?
Yeah. There's all kinds of dangers that can come from that. And I'm not even talking about like STDs and all kinds of shit like that. I'm talking about like the level of crazy that the baby mom that is produced from that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Let's move on.
Yeah. I wasn't gonna ask you to dance in that arena. I know you can't dance on that floor, yo. You know what I'm saying? I know you can't dance.
Oh, not even trying.
Yeah.
It's one of them songs where I just gotta sit down.
All right. So, high thought. Okay. What kind of positivity is toxic? Mm. See, the word toxic always gets attached to something that's negative, and I get it. Like, a toxic relationship isn't something that you call goals.
Right.
A toxic relationship is usually the shit that everybody's complaining about, right?
Right.
But what is toxic positivity? You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I have one.
What?
All right.
Give me an example.
Understand that I mean this with all sincerity. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? When you tell a child that they can be anything that they want to be, without also telling them within what scope. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you don't put a scope, when you don't frame it, right. When you don't frame it in a certain way, that is toxic positivity. Because right. You mean all wellness. You should. We should encourage the children. You know right. What I'm saying? We should always encourage the children, right?
Always.
But every one of your kids can't be the president. Okay. Like every one right, of them, right, yeah. Everyone can't be the next LeBron James.
Right.
Every one of them can't just say, I'm going to be a rapper and be rich, like, fill in the blank with one of the, like, you know what I'm saying? Like okay. It's a little toxic to elude them to believe all that. Right.
So,
that,
like, when you tell
like,
the stripper.
Like, anything's possible, but not everything is possible.
So, when you tell the stripper to go make that money.
Okay. It depends on whose eyes you're looking through, because I don't think that's toxic. As a matter of fact, I've always told strippers that. Matter of fact, every stripper...
I mean, to a stripper, that sounds good.
No, but every stripper that I've had a relationship with outside of the strip club, uh-huh. Like, I mean, like, I met her as a stripper, uh-huh. And then she was cool.
But
and
that's
then
toxic, you telling her that. But, because that's not something
but,
good.
But that was the thing that made her fuck with me to where it's like, I'll give you an example. Like
I that's positive toxicity.
It's not really. That's her job. She's there to shake ass and make some money. So yeah. if we're talking
but
and we're
the job
vibing.
Is
listen,
toxic.
If we're talking and we're vibing, and I already know that we're talking and vibing, rather than me make you give me all your attention at your job, I tell you, girl.
Go
make fake, yeah. Make the fuck of money.
But that's,
you know what I'm
toxic.
Is it though?
If that's like telling a nigga, go yeah, nigga, go kill that nigga.
All right, that's a little rough right there.
Where's the comparison?
Yeah, that
like,
got dark, yo.
Where's the comparison? I would say
because it's not two good activities. The activities is not good. Whatever.
Okay. All right. No, because you know what. The funny thing is that per usual, there's a lot of people listening that agree with Trey. There's a lot of people that agree right. with Trey even when I'm right.
Right.
It's just fun to agree with Trey on certain shit that I'm right about. You know what I'm saying? No. Because right now, think about it. You're right.
Uh-huh.
They are two wrong things.
Yeah.
But are they though? Because every stripper in the world right now is saying to themselves, the fuck's this nigga Trey talking
but
about?
But that's a toxic comment.
Her job is toxic?
Telling her to go strip is toxic. You should be like, young lady, why don't you?
I should be Drake.
No, because Drake fuck with the strippers. Drake, like.
But on his song, he tell him to do better. He tell him to do better. He tell him to do better and go to college, yo. He tell him to do better and go to college, yo.
Be the Russell Wilson, not the future.
Okay.
Fuck that.
High thought. What is technically true, but not true at the same time?
The grass is greener.
On
the other side. The grass ain't greener. I'm sorry. The grass ain't greener on the other side.
So you're saying, like, sometimes the grass
the
is
grass
green.
The grass is always greener.
Sometimes that shit green
that
as a motherfucker.
That shit, listen,
that
dog.
Shit is
that
green.
Nigga should be mowed.
That shit been watered right.
Water, hedge cutters, nigga. That shit, nigga. What? Yeah, I'm leaving this uncut grass over here. And like, I'm gone. The fuck you talking about, bitch?
Property value going down.
Grass ain't always green, nigga.
Man.
I would say two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, like sometimes.
Hey, and you want to know what's funny, right? Motherfucking, on my birthday this year, in my notes, I made some quotes, right, in my notes that I would put on T-shirts, right? I put, two wrongs don't make a right, but I see two W's. You feel me? That was one of my quotes. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, two wrongs don't make a right, I see two W's.
I like that, yeah.
That's funny you said that. Yeah. But that's a good quote. That's a T-shirt. Anybody that's stealing my shit, I'm telling you, I'm coming.
Yo,
for you.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, I'm coming. For
listen,
you.
listen. Just know that publicly recorded, time stamped, and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm the friend that at least I've always told you that this is not going to be good. I mean, all right, put it like this. It might be. It depends on how much money they got as far as how much money we got when it comes
especially
to lawyers. If our lawyers can out-lawyer they lawyers, and notice how I said lawyers and I didn't say
you know just did. If anything.
I didn't say anything.
Notice I said lawyers. You could have just left it at lawyers. You didn't even have to say nothing.
Because there's someone in the comments that was going to make that connection anyway, so I just make it for them. Right. That way they can know that I didn't mean it in any type of way. I wasn't just, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. You know what I'm talking about. They've soundbited me. Like, people have, you know, people will listen to It's Not Just Me. And this is how I know niggas who be lying to me to say they listen to the show, because they'll only comment on the clip. So when people clip the clip, that makes it even worse. Like, if I put a minute and 30 second clip out and you only listen to that real spicy 15 seconds and shit, right? You know what I'm saying? Then you don't even know what I really meant when I said that. You just know the flagrant shit I said.
Well, you better watch what you say.
You don't got no context.
They're going to clip you like, your clip going to be like, I did.
They gonna
T-Baby like. Oh, you just did it again.
YouTube's gonna flag this video. I'm gonna have to re-upload it. They gonna say it's.
We got you better bleep it
I should have thought this out before. all right, moving on. High thought. Okay. What is an unawkward way of asking the name of someone that you're supposed to know? You know how when you bump into somebody and you know that person.
Hey, right, that just happened.
No, you know that person.
Here we go. I got this. I got this because I go through this a lot. I go through this way too much.
All right.
You feel me? This how you finesse that situation.
All right.
Yo, bro, da da da. You feel me? I say you talking to a nigga. Yo, what's your number again, yo? You get what I'm saying? You guide the conversation into a way where you would supposedly need this person's number. You feel me? All right, yeah, give him your joint. Tell him, yeah, just text me with your name. You feel me? So I got the spelling right.
All right. Yo, this nigga is slick, yo. You know what I'm saying? Right. Look, I knew this nigga was slick when he first pulled up, yo. Like, when we first got here to L.A. and he first pulled up, I said, all right. I said, I see what we doing here. You know what I'm saying?
First of all,
you know what I'm saying?
The way we even met, right? So our little brother, like, our families is like one big family. You feel me? Like, our moms is cool. Our little brothers is cool.
Yeah.
And it's like, we was the last piece of the puzzle, right? So it would be times where I'll come around. They'd be like, damn, you just missed Sam. Or he'll come around. I'm like, damn, you just missed Trey. But when I got out there and the first time we chill, yo, I'm like, damn, this my nigga. You feel me? Like, this my man's already, yo. And yeah, it's been history ever since. But but me, I'm the type, this just happened to me.
Definitely
right?
Rolled up some gas, got fried.
Yeah, real quick.
That was like the first interaction.
That's always the first interaction. But I was doing the delivery, right? And I'm delivering and I see a chick out the corner of my eye real quick and I look. You feel me? I'm on the job, so I really don't. You feel me? Be on it. But then a nigga leaned up in the car. He's like, yo, bro, da da da. In my head, I'm like, damn, I know this nigga. I know this nigga. Like, this face, you feel me? I done been in a lot of places in my life. So I'm like, damn, do I know this nigga from here? Nah, it couldn't have been there. But anyway, I just bro with the situation. Yo, what's good, bro? You feel me? How you been? How you been, nigga? Yeah, you had a family. Yeah, you feel me? Yeah. What's your mother name? No, your mother good. You feel me? I'll be trying to figure out where I know him from. Then I might figure out the name then. But if I don't know you, I'm definitely broing you or assisting you or something like that.
Sometimes I fuck around just asking you that. Yo, what's your name again, bro? Real shit. Like, I'm talking about mid conversation. Yeah,
but talking for like 2 hours.
I know they used to call you around the way, but what's your name, though? You know what I'm saying? That way, that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
but look, if you're on the flip side of that situation, right, and somebody asks you your name that you think is supposed to know your name, you feel me? Like, how would you feel? Like, I done been in that situation.
I always try to think of what name should I be telling them? Because what name do they know me by? Right, right. Because they approach sometimes to tell me, like some people still walk up to me to this day, right, and be like, "Yo, hey, yo, your name Menisho?" And I gotta think for a second, like, "Yo, hold up, where would you know me by the name Menace from?"
Right.
Because to know that name, you have to have known me from a certain...